This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. And then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who became priests to collect a tenth from the people. That is, their brothers. Even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. If perfection could have been achieved through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest not on the basis of the regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath, when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. Let's bow together. Oh God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we are going beyond the elementary things. These are not things that are baby steps in the Christian life. And so they are things that need to be understood with a spiritual mind. Lord, may we have the mind of Christ that we might understand what has been done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about a priest, and we talked last week about the need of a priest, about how so many today in their arrogance just say, well, I go to God my own way. And yet none of us are fit to go to God. None of us are capable of reaching up. We did an experiment a few months ago when everyone tried to jump up and touch the ceiling. And yet how high above the ceiling is God? And if our bodies are unable to just jump that handful of feet up to the ceiling, how much greater is the gap between us and holy God? We are in need of a priest who can bridge that gap, who can represent us before God and represents God before us. And yet, the Old Testament set up a priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, and some of those priests were good, but others were very evil. And none of them were able to save entirely. And so, Hebrews 7:17 says, there's going to be a new priest, for it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You're not going to be a priest of Aaron. Now, Aaron's tribe was appointed as priest in the book of Exodus. Let us look as an example at Exodus 28. Exodus 28 deals with the priesthood. All the garments that the priest was to wear. And then 29 deals with their consecration. But notice what it says. Exodus 28:43. Aaron and his sons must wear all these garments, all these garments. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur guilt and die, this is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants. And so God says, this priesthood that I'm establishing under this covenant with Moses is going to be a lasting covenant. This is going to be a lasting priesthood. It's going to go with your descendants. But here's the problem. Jesus doesn't come from Aaron's line. In fact, Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. Do you remember the king from the tribe of Judah, David's son, who tried to go in and offer sacrifice in the temple? He became a leper. How is it then that Jesus can even be our priest? And we're left with that question until we come to this unique prophecy in the book of Zechariah, almost at the very end of the Old Testament. One of the last books written in the Old Testament, right before the book of Malachi, Zechariah chapter 6. I'll begin at verse 9. Zechariah 6:9. The word of the Lord came to me. Take silver and gold from the exiles, Haldai, Tobijah, and Zedekiah, who have arrived from Babylon. Go the same day to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, and make a crown. and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the name Joshua? Jesus. Tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch. What a weird name. Unless you've read the book of Isaiah, when it says that the Messiah will be the branch that will branch out of Jesse's root. Here is the man that is called the branch. He will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne. And there will be harmony between the two. How is that possible? How is it possible that a king from the tribe of Judah, from the line of David, will be a priest when the priests are of the tribe of Levi from the line of Aaron? Until we come to this Melchizedek. Now, one thing about Melchizedek is he far predates the law. His story is found in Genesis chapter 14. And all that we are told of him in his history are these few little verses in Genesis chapter 14. Beginning at verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Just a little side note, because there are churches today that teach this. And some of them are very rapidly growing churches. There are churches that say, well, Christians shouldn't tithe. And they go to 2 Corinthians where Paul says, lay aside whatever you want to give and just give. Tithing was part of the law. Had the law been written yet when Moses tithed? Not at all. Tithing long predates the law of Moses. And it is a sign from God's people of their trust in the Lord and their obedience to Him. And so don't let anybody tell you, well, tithing was the law. Tithing was a part of Abraham's life. And what is Abraham called? The father of our faith? But here we have this Melchizedek. This man who comes out of nowhere, goes to nowhere, but in spite of that, is a greater than Abraham. Who was he? No one knows. Some believe that he may have been a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. But that isn't necessarily true. But we know four things about him. Four things about him that set him as better than the priests of Aaron. There are four things about this Melchizedek that makes him better than the priests of Aaron. First of all, it predates the priesthood of Aaron. It has greater antiquity and worth. I can remember being in Israel, and people would say, oh, look at this magnificent building. And the guides would say, oh, no, irrelevant, irrelevant. It's only 1,500 years old. Spin a wheel, spin a wheel. But it predates the priesthood of Aaron. It is older and deeper. Colossians 1 says this about Jesus. Colossians 1:17 says this about Jesus. A simple statement. He was before all things. You see, his priesthood far predates. In fact, Revelation declares that the Lamb of God was sacrificed before the foundation of the world. In the heart of God, it had already been accomplished long before Calvary. He predates the priesthood of Aaron. Second of all, its priest is greater than Aaron. Look with me at the verses we read before, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. This priesthood predates that of Aaron. Its priest is greater than Aaron. Notice what it says, Hebrews 7, verse 7. And without doubt, this is self-evident. Everyone should know this. Without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. The king is not blessed by the peasant, nor the emperor by the baron. It is the greater positionally that blesses the lesser. In the one case, the tenth was collected by the men who die, priests in Aaron's line. But in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tithe, paid the tithe through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. So, what he's saying is, who was greater, Melchizedek or Abraham? Who was greater, Melchizedek or Abraham? Melchizedek, because without doubt, the greater blesses the lesser. But who is greater, the Father or the Son? The Father. And is Abraham the father of Levi, or Levi the father of Abraham? Abraham is the father of Levi. So therefore, who has the prior claim, Abraham or Levi? Abraham. So if Melchizedek is better than Abraham, and Abraham is better than Levi, oh, how much greater is the priesthood of Melchizedek, greater than Levi's priesthood? It is greater. Third of all, not only does it predate it, not only is it greater than that, but third of all, it is a lasting priesthood. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. One who, we'll start at 15, the beginning of the sentence. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. He lives forever. That's stated again in verses 23 and 24. Notice what it says there. Now, there have been many of those priests, of the priests of Aaron's priesthood, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. I never have to worry that the priest has died. I never have to go to his son or his grandson or his great-grandson because he rules forever. And then fourth of all, not only does Melchizedek's priesthood predate it, not only is the priest greater, not only is it a lasting priesthood, but number four, it's a greater priesthood because it does not offer sacrifices that will never take away sin. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12. Hebrews 9:12. He did not enter by means, talking of Jesus, of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who is through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. And then in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 11, notice what it says. Day after day, Hebrews 10, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices. Think of the stench that must have filled the temple. As day after day, hundreds or thousands of cattle and sheep were cut and the blood sprinkled. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Oh, how great is the priesthood of Jesus. And because of that, I want to come. All of this has been introduction. Because of this, I want us to come to those words that we read in Hebrews chapter 7. Without understanding the background, these words have no meaning. But I want us to look at these words in verses 18 and 19. Hebrews 7, 18 and 19. For the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And I want to spend what remains of our time today talking about those words, the better hope. Why is it that Jesus, the priest of Melchizedek's line, can offer a better hope? Well, first of all, as we've already seen, because he's a better priest. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. Hebrews 7, 28. For the law, Hebrews 7, 28, appoints as high priests men who are weak. But the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. We have a better priest. Not only is he a better priest, but second of all, he offers a better sacrifice. We've already read Hebrews chapter 10. But let's look back one verse before what we looked at. Hebrews 10:10. It's been talking about how it was God's will that he was sacrificed. And it says, Hebrews 10:10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once. Excuse me. And for all. What a sacrifice. One time. Can you imagine? Every time you sinned, you had to offer a sacrifice under the old system. Let's be honest. How many times would we have to sacrifice? Yet, his one sacrifice is capable of paying in full the price of every single sinner who has ever sinned every single sin. In all the history of the world, from the day Adam and Eve ate of the fruit until the day the heavens are rolled up and disappear. What a sacrifice. Now someone will say, well, if his sacrifice was so great, how were those in the Old Testament saved? The same way those today are saved? By the same sacrifice. Their sacrifice only covered sin until the one came who would take it away. Third of all, our better hope is based on a better promise. It's based on an oath. Look at what it says. Hebrews 7:21. Hebrews 7:21. For it is declared, you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. It's not that it was bad. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans and says, the law wasn't bad. God forbid, the law is good. It's just weak. I hate the theology of a very popular song because it is absolutely wrong. And it's wrong at such a critical point. The song, Lord, we lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. We don't need a show. You see, the law was a show. It showed us what we ought to do. It told us, don't commit adultery. It told us, don't steal. It told us, don't murder. It told us, keep God's day holy. Keep God's name holy. It showed us what to do. Here's the problem. Can you do it? Can you do it? It was weak and useless because it didn't promise us the ability. It only told us what to do, not how to do it. And so often, people look at the people in the Bible and they go, oh, I couldn't be a David, or oh, I couldn't be a Daniel, or oh, I couldn't be an Abraham. God forbid that we would ever speak that way. Because all they had was God telling them how to do it. Oh, how is it that you and I have not gone so much further because we have a better oath? I'll give you a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Notice what it says in verse 26. Such a high priest meets our need. Oh, you see, it doesn't depend on us. It depends upon our priest. That's why 1 John, everybody knows 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's not where it ends. There are no chapters or verses in the Bible as written. It was written as a letter. Chapter 2, verse 1 goes on and says, I write these things so that you will not sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, this high priest meets our needs because it's not based on those former regulations. It's not, I'll show you what to do. Oh, there are people out there that claim to be Christians and they say, well, Jesus was just a good man and he showed us the way to God. Oh, aren't you glad that isn't true? And they act as though that's an improvement. They act as though that's somehow better. Now we can all do it on our own. I'd be more likely to build a ladder to the moon than do it on my own. He's a better priest, offering a better sacrifice based on a better oath and having a better covenant. Look at chapter 7, verse 22. Look at Hebrews 7:22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, here's where a lot of confusion is, because there are teachers out there that basically say, here's the better covenant. The better covenant is, you're not under law anymore, so you can do whatever you want and still go to heaven. Garbage. That person's a false teacher. The book of Jude says secret men have snuck in unawares. They turn the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, the only sovereign and Lord. No, it's not a better covenant because it allows us freedom to sin. It's a better covenant because it gives us the ability to free ourselves from sin. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning at verse 15. Hebrews 10:15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Now remember, that's different from the old covenant, isn't it? Because in the old covenant, where did God put the laws? He put them on tablets of stone. Now, I might be able to look at them. Ooh, I might be able to read them. I might even be able to appreciate them. But they don't change anything on the inside, do they? Anybody who's dealt with drug addicts will agree with a statement that Nick makes a lot. You can be a dry drunk or a clean addict. Oh yeah, you might not be doing it on the outside, but your heart hasn't been changed on the inside. That's why AA and all these secular programs, they say, all you can do for the rest of your life, I am an alcoholic. But I haven't drank today. That's the best they offer. Because you see, when the law is written on tablets of stone, that's the best you can do. God gave them on tablets of stone. He put them there. And where were they to write them? Remember where the Israelites were to write the laws? They were to write them on their doorposts, where they'd see them every time they went into their house, on their gates. They were to write them on little tablets and connect them to their hands like a wristwatch, so they would see them and be reminded. But it was all on the outside. It was all an external thing. Oh, but now it says, after that time, I will put my laws in their hearts. You know, that's what's missing today is telling people that when you're truly saved, you may have sin in your life, but you don't want to sin. The sinner wants to sin. The only thing they feel bad about is the possibility of getting caught or having consequences. But for the true believer, it's not about the consequences. It's about there's a law inside. It's on my heart. I don't want to sin. I feel guilty when I sin. It tears me up when I sin. Not because there's some law on a wall and somebody shaking their finger and saying, you better, but because it's inside of me. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, and notice, that is the first step in salvation. We want to say that salvation is forgiveness. No, it says, and then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Forgiveness can only come to the changed person. You can't forgive a stone-cold murderer. He'll just go out and do it again. Can you imagine if the policy of nations was just to forgive sin? Well, here comes John Smith. He's a contract killer, 22 kills to his name. We forgive you. Here comes John Smith, 91 kills to his name. We forgive you. You see, forgiveness to the unrepentant, to the unchanged, to the person without a new heart, just hardens them in the way they go. Oh, but God says, here's what I'll do in this new covenant. I'll put a law inside of you. You'll want to please me. You know, the person that says, that says to you, oh, you're going to church again? Why do you go to church all the time? Is there some rule that you have to be there every day? No. Is there some rule you have to go out to the bars and get drunk every day? No, that's just what's in you. But that's not what's in me anymore. Oh, I always see you talking about that Bible. And what, does somebody come around and look up to make sure you're reading it enough? No. Do you see the better covenant? And because God has made that person truly new, they can be forgiven. Because you see, for the person who's been brought into the presence of God by this new priest under this new covenant, they don't want an excuse to go back and sin some more. Woo, I'm all forgiven, clean slate. That means I can run up how many sins before it gets bad again? Never. Never. That's why God can forgive us. Because forgiveness isn't just an excuse to go out and do more of the same. I want you to look at something. God is speaking in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. How many times does it say I? This is the covenant. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart. And I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember. You see, this new covenant, who's the one doing all the work? He doesn't say, this is the covenant I will make with them after this time. They will put my law in their hearts, does it? They will write them. They will act so well that I'll have no choice. No, it's not about us. You see, it's a better covenant because it has a better promise, because the promise comes all from God, not from us. It's not me. Oh, God, I'll try harder. How many people do you know that try harder all the time and never do it? I remember before I got saved, when I almost cut my head off on a barbed wire fence. Oh, God, you saved my life. I'm going to try harder. I'll read the whole Bible from cover to cover. How far do you get? I got to Genesis 10. It's not my promise. It's His promise. Oh, what a salvation this Melchizedek's priesthood brings. A better priest, a better sacrifice, a better oath, and a better covenant based on a better promise. No wonder we have a better hope. And if we have a better hope, we better have a better life. Because you know, we've been given so much more, haven't we? To whom much is given. After investing all this in us, what kind of return do you think God's going to get? Let's bow together. Oh God, what a priesthood. What a priesthood we've been given. This priest, after the order of Melchizedek, better priest, a better sacrifice, a better oath, a better promise. Oh God, thank you that you didn't just show us the way and then go back and watch us founder as we failed again and again and again and again. But you've given a heart change that we might truly pursue you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.